And the Bible tells us this. Now, thanks be to God who always, say always with me.
Always.
Can I tell you something? You ready to learn?
Yes.
Always doesn't mean sometimes. Always kind of means always. We okay with that?
Yes.
Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. The title of this chapter could easily be, You Stink. How many of you have ever read this chapter? Here's what it says. Now, look at me. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. For to one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and the other the aroma of life leading to life. In other words, when you come in contact with a person who wants nothing to do with God, who doesn't want to hear about Jesus Christ, doesn't want to hear about salvation, you magnify the death that's in that person. I want you to think about it. When believers get together, when people of like precious faith comes together, it magnifies life. But when believers get together with unbeliever, because the Bible says the unbeliever is spiritually dead, it magnifies the death that's within them. So to one we're the aroma of life, to the other one we're magnifying the death that's in them. And so we come to a place of understanding that Christ in our life is more than we give him credit to for. Because God always, the Bible says, leads us in triumph, or we are never a person who lives in defeat. Now here's how that verse came about. I know it came about through the Holy Spirit, but that verse came about because of Roman soldiers. When Roman military officers went in and took a community by force, they would bring the captives and the spoils back to Rome, and when they got back to Rome, there was a triumphal procession through the streets. And so these war leaders, these military people, were honored by going through the streets with their captives and with the spoils of the war, and they were honored and cheered and praised for their great military expertise. So what God is saying, in my military, you're a champion. Boy, you missed a good place to say amen.
Amen.
We are not victims. We are not the scum of the earth. We are the champions that God has ordained to minister and walk in his presence and live in his Holy Spirit. And God looks at us and says, you're champions. Therefore, look at me. Say this with me. God,
I'm sorry
for acting like a wimp.
When you've made me a warrior,
I'm sorry for challenging your word when I don't feel it's working,
and
you've made me a champion because you have faith in me. We come to a place where God is looking at us, and now listen to this. Very few believers ever catch this. It's over their head because they're not looking to God, they're looking at circumstances. I want you to know that you're the best God has in this region, and God chose you to be here for a time like this. You are not an accident. And we need to understand that. God has ordained that we'd be here in this time because He trusts you. He trusts you to be honest about the Word. He trusts you to be honest about salvation. He trusts us not to get caught up in some doctrinal things that are going to change the whole landscape. He trusts us to be truthful. He trusts us to stand up here and look at people, and wherever you're going, to look at people and say, without Jesus Christ, you're lost. You're going to hell. Another chance to say amen. I know we don't want to hear about hell. I'm okay. But there still is a place. And if we have the gift of evangelism, and thank God for Josh, that gift of evangelism propels us to reach people for Jesus Christ. And there's a calling, and there's a depth, and there's a love, and there's an acceptance, and there's a responsibility that comes with all the gifts God gives us. But I want to go back to that statement, God always leads us in triumph. Now, how many of us, including the man talking, are willing to allow God to lead us? How many of us has decided and determined the own course of our life? How many of us look at things differently than God does? How many of us looks at things differently than the Bible does? How many of us are still living with feelings about other people that we shouldn't have? Now look at me, if you've gone through a relationship where it's impossible to forgive, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the person you don't like dies. We need to come to a place where the very first thing we do when somebody does something to us, and I'm going to tell you something, Satan will challenge your forgiving policy. I've been there. Satan will challenge the things that you're confessing. And when you can confess, forgive me my debts as I forgive those who trespass against me, it works. You carry it, it'll kill you. God's not asking you to do something that's impossible for you to do. He's asking you to do something that He'll do with you. And so we come to that place where God always leads us in triumph. He never leads us to defeat. He have not planned our demise. He has not planned our failure. And so we may go through things, but God will lead us through them and not keep us in them if we will let Him lead and take control of our hearts and our minds. The Bible tells us something that we need to think about because it's about thinking. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10 that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What's a stronghold? A stronghold is a mindset. A stronghold is something that controls your mind, that you can't get over, that you are fighting with. And most any stronghold that comes into your mind, you know it's there. Because that's your main focus of your life. That stronghold, that mindset, that mental image, the things that you're going through. And God doesn't bring that to you, but the devil does. And the devil wants your thoughts so messed up and so misjointed that we can't think properly. And whenever we think, that stronghold, that enemy's device comes up. And we begin to get bitter and we begin to hate. And you may say, Pastor, are you telling me I can't hate someone? No, God did. Let me ask you a question. Look at me. The Bible says that hating someone is like killing them, murdering them. How many of you would walk up to that person with a pistol and shoot them? And so we come to a place that we want to be led by the Spirit, and He wants to lead us out of our problem areas and lead us into a place of peace, lead us into a place where we're walking in Him, where we are willing to lay down our lives and love people regardless of the cost. You know, forgiving someone is not like having a New Year's resolution. Forgiving someone or allowing God to work in us is like coming to God and saying, God, I can't do it, but I know that you can make it so I can. And you may say, well, I'm not sure that would work. It works for sins. How many of you could forgive your own sins? You had to come to God and you had to tell God, God, I can't handle this. These sins are so great. I can't break them. I can't forgive myself. I can't do it for myself, but I know you can. And the thing that God does that is so amazing, He forgives you without holding grudges. He'll come to a place and He'll put His hand upon you and your life will be radically changed because we are not supposed to allow anything of Satan to dwell within us. Because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And as we come to God, God takes hold of our lives and He changes our thoughts. He changes our mindset. That person you thought you hated, you can love. Right?
Yes. Amen.
It happens. But there are times that you're walking in victory, but you're feeling and it looks like you're walking in defeat. This happened throughout the Bible. As I was working on this yesterday afternoon, all of a sudden I could see the cross. How many realize, look at me, how many realize when they nailed Christ on the cross, He looked defeated? He was not a hero to the Roman soldiers. They had nailed many people on crosses. But they've never nailed anybody like they did when they nailed Jesus on the cross. But hanging there between, suspended between heaven and earth, He looked like He had lost. But there are times we have to wait until the last chapter is written to see who wins. Because the Bible says, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, when He conquered death, hell, and the grave, and descended into hell and took the keys of death and hell from the devil. He surely wasn't a victim. and neither are you. When John the Baptist had his head cut off, he looked like a loser. Forgive me now, I'm just showing you pictures. When Peter was nailed to a cross, he looked like a loser. When Nero beheaded Paul, he looked like a loser. When John the Baptist was in prison, even though he was going to win this whole deal, and he starts saying to Jesus' disciples, and sent his disciples to talk to Jesus, and they said, John wants to know, are you the coming one? Are you the Messiah? Or do we look for someone else? John the Baptist looked at Jesus and said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He knew who he was. But he also knew in Isaiah 61, he was there to set the prisoner free, and John was still in prison. I want you to think about that. He knew the prophecy of Isaiah 61. He knew the fact that he was the forerunner of Jesus. He knew all the prophecies about the anointing of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. But there he is in prison. He's feeling and he's looking like a loser. Seriously, folks. But he wasn't a loser. And before he died and before he was beheaded, he sent his disciples to the master and said, are you the one, or are we really looking for someone else? And how did Jesus respond to him? He says, go tell John the things you see. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lepers cleansed. I want you to understand something. I have prayed for people hundreds of times and seen them instantly healed. They're not the ones that bother me. The ones that bother me and the ones I go to bed with at night are the ones that I prayed for, and I know the power of God is there, and I feel like a hopeless wreck and a loser because they're not healed. Because I know that Christ is the healer. I know that Christ is the Lamb of God. I know that he's the one that healed me. And so you walk this thing out. And there are times you feel, God, are you really listening to me? Then I come back. Because you think I'm going to stop. Think we're going to give up? No. There are people sitting here right now. Some of your best days were when you were praying for people to be saved and healed, and then suddenly it cut off. And now you're looking at life like, hey, I messed up. God took this away from me. No, God didn't. You still got it. I want you to understand something, that the gift and callings of God are without repentance. God doesn't change his mind. We just quit doing what God has told us to do, and we start doing something else. And God is saying, I want to lead you in triumph. I want to lead you in victory. I want you to walk this thing out. I want you to walk in my glory. I want you to walk in my anointing. I want you to walk in my power. So keep doing what God's called you to do. I mean, everything that God has planned is fulfilled in your life through him. It's not that you have to take yourself by the nape of the neck and shake yourself and say, God, I got to wake up. I got to get doing this. There's a lot of people doing without having any direction. And God is leading us, and God's taking us by the hand, and step by step, there's inroads being made into the cities. But you see, folks, there are doors that God opens to reach a community. There are doors that God opens into people's lives. But God leads us in triumph. God leads us in victory. Do you understand that Paul writes just before he said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of men's wisdom, but I came to you in the demonstration of spirit and power. Paul wrote that if the rulers of this age would have known what the crucifixion had meant, they would have never crucified Christ. They didn't know that 8,000 people would get saved after the day of Pentecost. They didn't know that. They didn't know when Christ arose from the grave, their leader was absolutely defeated.
Amen.
And we're not fighting someone that can destroy us. The Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to death. They stood up to the devil. It's time the Church of Jesus Christ does.
Amen.
It's a time we start giving him so much credit. He's a loser.
Amen.
He's a champion loser. I would trust every one of you not to allow yourself to get kicked out of heaven. Well, I don't know. We'll get a discussion of that. No. But he had, look at it. He had everything going for him. And then he says, I'm going to be above the Most High. I'm going to sit on his throne. And all God said are two words, goodbye. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, I saw Satan fall from heaven. Jesus saw him get the left foot of fellowship. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't hate people. We despise what the devil's doing. Because he's doing what Jesus said he'd do, steal, kill, and destroy. You are more than conquerors. You are more than overcomers. You are victors. And you know something? We have to get that stronghold that says we're losers out of our head. You have to get that stronghold that says you didn't do this and you didn't measure up. How many of you know what you have to measure up to? You don't. Christ is the answer. And he's the way. And he's truth and he's life. And he's the one that receives us and welcomes us. Because eternal life is not doing something. Eternal life is not going to church. Eternal life is knowing Jesus Christ. And when you come to a place like this, you have a choice. And that choice is going to be right now. You have a choice whether you're going to live your life the way you want or you're going to live your life for Jesus Christ. This is a safe place. This is a place where you can come in and if I had hair, I'd let my hair down. One thing I can do. This is a place where you can come in and feel safe and ask your questions. And we want to give you truth and we want to give you the Word of God and we want the Holy Spirit to inhabit your body so you are in tune with Jesus Christ. This is bigger than just going somewhere on Sunday morning, not because I'm here and not because you're here, but because the Holy Spirit is here.